Hi, this is Pastor Woods. I'm hoping that you're realizing that this Christmas time is more than just the confusion of gift giving and parties and programs and all the different things that we get so involved in. I hope you're taking time to really realize the significance of this beautiful time that tells us, you know, to remember when God loved us so much that he stepped into history to become our Savior and our Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 18 in the New Living Translation says, "And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished." You know, many people put little displays of stables and mangers up in their homes, their Christmas decorations, to remind them of Jesus' humble birth. And I was thinking, as I was looking at our display, who was in your nativity display? Marty's dad made us a creche, I guess. Anyhow, it's an old word for a manger display. It was a wooden stable that Marty added tasteful interior lighting. There were ceramic figures that were placed in the little stable. Shepherds and sheep, cows and donkeys, three wise men with camels, which was not really a part of this scene. They didn't come till later. And then an angel or two. Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus were there, of course. It must have been a relief for Joseph and Mary to get away from Nazareth with all the judgmental stares and you know, the whispering and everything behind their backs. Mary was pregnant, and that usually takes a man to accomplish that. Whoever heard of a virgin birth? Something was obviously wrong there. Mary had, you know, people were whispering and pointing and judging, and poor Mary had to put up with that. Mary had not only risked hers and Joseph's reputation, but she also risked her life. An unmarried woman found with child could easily face death by stoning. But Mary loved God so much that when God asked her to bear his son, she was willing to obey him no matter what the cost. And you know, a lot of people say, well, maybe, you know, that it wasn't a virgin birth. Maybe she had been raped by a Roman soldier, or maybe she and Joseph had gotten a plan around. No, that's not so. Why is a virgin birth so important? Because if Joseph or someone else had been the dad, Jesus would have inherited the inbred sin handed down through the fathers from generation to generation. This started in the rebellion of Adam and Eve in the garden, and we have been tainted with sin ever since, and we need to take care of that. God is Christ's Father, so he was fully human and fully divine. He was sinless, only a perfect member of the human race with no sin of his own to pay for could redeem us from the penalty of sin. Remember, the wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ came to bear that sin, that penalty for us. Some people I know hide baby Jesus in the manger until Christmas Day. We don't do that. If we did, we might lose him. So we don't take any chances. One pastor said his family had an adult Jesus that his kids added to their nativity. He's not sure where the adult Jesus came from. Maybe he fell off the Last Supper sets. He didn't know. Anyhow, they added him to the manger scene because their display, they said, has room for everyone. Besides, it reminds us that God was there in the stable that night, too. Christmas has become a conglomeration of stories. Lots of different episodes are bunched together in our tradition. Both genuine and fables are there. Just who was there on the Christmas night? Well, I wanted to look at it. Frosty the Snowman wasn't there. We know that. But the Holy Family was. The shepherds showed up in the dark, but the wise men, they were not there. They took their time. It may have been up to 2 years before they arrived. I don't want to distress you, but there was no drummer boy, and Santa was not kneeling at the foot of the manger. What about the camels and oxen and the donkeys? The Bible doesn't mention them, but it seems reasonable that they could have been there because it was a place where animals were kept. The important truth remains there's a sense in which everyone is welcome in the manger display. The whole world is invited. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish but that all should come to salvation. So the whole world is invited. Look at who was there. There was the humble. A shepherd had a lowly job. Shepherds were outcasts because of their contact with dirty animals, and they could smell up social gatherings because of the way that they lived and the things that they did. They didn't bathe much. They didn't change their clothes, and so people knew when shepherds were around because you could smell them. They certainly were not rich people. God loves run-of-the-mill people because they're so important to him, but God loves everybody. The rich, the poor, the down, the up, everybody. He loves them so much that he became one of them when he sent his son Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus was born poor in a backwater country. He had all the power of the universe because he had created the universe, but he did without power and money while he was here on earth. He surrounded himself with average people, fishermen and tax collectors and people that are just kind of, like I said, run of the mill. It's still true today. Most followers of Jesus are pretty average. This is highlighted when you look at the elite. A large percentage of newsmakers don't believe in or respect Jesus. How sad, because when America was young, it was a prerequisite to believe in God and to serve him. Well, there were the influential. Magi had high status in society. They were the religious elite. The Magi were certainly rich, as shown by the gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some influential people still believe in Jesus. I was thinking how exciting it is to hear Donald Trump talk about how we need to have more Christians in the nation. We need to have more prayer. I know that Chuck Norris and Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, and some of these people believe in Jesus. They're in the ranks of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who were powerful Jews who believed in Jesus, but were careful not to draw too much attention to that. Well, Then there were the sinful. Of course, just about everyone there was sin except the baby Jesus. Not just about everyone there was a sinner except the baby. The Bible says this is a human condition. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. You know, but people argue that some people are more sinful than others. Much more, they'll say. Listen, sin is sin. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, for the person who keeps all the laws except one is guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. One important sinner wasn't there that day, but he sure wanted to be. His name was Herod. And I'll tell you next week more about Herod, but Herod's only concern was to eliminate a potential rival to the throne of the Jews. So he committed an atrocity when he heard about Jesus. He had asked the wise men when they came through, which we will talk about later. When the star arrived, they arose that they were following and all, and they went and found Jesus, but they didn't go back and tell Herod what he had requested the information about. And so he killed all the little boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. Today, he might be hauled before an international court. Probably not, the way morals are today and the way people are so hepped on having abortions and killing their little babies in the womb. Well, even today, those in power throw their weight around without much fear of consequences. Herod lived his life, ended his life, without thinking much more about Jesus and why Jesus came. As the sinners were welcome at the manger. I read about a television commercial advertising the United Church of Christ. And in this commercial, it showed church bouncers, beefy guys, guarding a velvet robe across the front of the church. Black people, black children were turned away. Same with same-sex couples and Hispanic girl. Only a well-dressed white family was allowed to come in. Finally, the words appeared on the screen. Jesus didn't turn people away, neither do we. I don't know who made the commercial, but they were showing the contrast. The obvious implication is our church welcomes everyone, but yours doesn't. Christian response should be everyone's welcome and everyone's challenged. There are no bouncers at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook. Anyone can come and everyone is welcome. I was thinking back when I lived in Phoenix and pastoring Deer Valley Church of the Nazarene. I had a daydream because I hoped that one day the motorcycle club that had their club meetings on 19th Avenue there in a bar, and there was a sign that said on it, no colors, and all these Hell's Angel type people were there. I was in hopes that someday they would show up on Christmas Eve and we could give them the gospel. I often thought that maybe God was going to send me down there to that bar. I don't know. He never did. But at Deer Valley, the decent, respectful people that were there, many of them left when we started reaching people through the fishing hole, people who were a little rougher than most people who were involved in drugs and the occult and all that. But I want you to know, everybody is welcome here at the First Baptist Church, but to really be a member of the church is a little different. The entrance requirements are listed in the Bible. Believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, follow and obey Jesus Christ, and become part of the family of God. God accepts you just as you are, but he won't leave you that way. You must change to be part of the family of God, to be part of the kingdom that God has prepared for those who love him. Well, salvation requires a commitment and a change. God will bring the changes, but you must be open to obey them. Don't give God an ultimatum. I've heard people say, well, God, if you want me to serve you, you've got to, and they like that. We come on God's terms, not on our terms. Follow Jesus' example. He accepted outcasts, prostitutes, sinners, people of the world. To the woman caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. Christian churches can require no less than to make everyone feel welcome and give them the message of salvation that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their lives. Well, there were the holy there at the manger too. Angels were part of the nativity. They made up part of the supernatural component. They were pure. They are powerful. Their purpose is to serve Christians. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation." Think of it. God sends angels to work with us, to protect us, to help us. Then Jesus himself was there as the most holy. What a remarkable claim. Jesus began sinless. He stayed that way all through his life. Hard for us to comprehend. You might want to go over and tweak the little baby's toe to see if he is real. We were born with inbred sin or a carnal nature, natural rebellion against God, wanting our own way. But humans can be forgiven and can be perfected as we yield our wills to God. We talk about being sanctified. That means to take our lives and dedicate them to God, be set apart for God's holy use. God sees sanctified Christians as trying to live for him, and God sees that as a perfect act of love for him. We grow toward that condition as we obey and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. I may not be perfect by your standards now, but one day it will happen to all of us as we walk with God. We'll no longer want to be out there breaking his heart by sinning. We'll want to please God. You have tremendous potential. I would remind you, Jesus didn't remain a baby. It's appropriate for that pastor that I told you about with the manger scene and the adult Jesus. It's important to have an adult Jesus looking down on baby Jesus, but also it's important to have an adult Jesus looking down on you as you try to live and obey him. Jesus did grow up. He did die on a cross. He was resurrected. He is coming back again. He's going to come and gather his church and take us home to be with him in the place that he's prepared for us for all eternity. We like to see Jesus as a baby because he's not threatening to us, you know. He's just a little baby laying there. But the resurrected Jesus, the adult Jesus that died and rose again from the grave and is alive forevermore, that's a different matter. He calls us to repentance. Matthew 4:17, from then on, Jesus began to preach. He said, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Well, that brings us to you and me. Where would you have fit into the original Christmas nativity scene? We imagine ourselves like the humble shepherds, but too many of us are more like Herod. Oh, we're not as violent as he was, but our chief interest is ourselves. What can Jesus do for me? What will I get out of being a Christian? That may be your only question. There are preachers today that are saying, you know, if you give to get and you follow Christ and you'll have it easy. That's not so. What we find is that when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, he gives us strength to face whatever we have to face. He tells us, "I will never leave you or forsake you." But that does not mean that we will not face hard times, but it does mean that he will stand with us in whatever we go through. Are you having a hard time today? Jesus Christ can comfort you and give you strength to face whatever it is you're facing. And remember, God loves you and is never going to leave or forsake you if you follow him. So I would say, if you haven't yet, you know, people say, well, bow at the manger. Well, the manger wasn't intended to be a tourist attraction. To come to Jesus is to bow down and worship not at the manger, but at the foot of the cross where he died for your sins. Lay your sins and your pride at his feet. What better time is there to accept God's gift of salvation, God's gift of forgiveness, and God's gift of eternal life than now at this time when we recognize that Jesus Christ stepped into history to be our Savior. Father, I pray that you help each one today, each one of us that are paying attention to the love that you've given to us, that we might draw close to you. Search our hearts. Make sure, Lord, there's nothing that's between us and you that would cause us to displease you. But Lord, I pray that if you will, I would ask like David did, search me, O God, and know my heart today, and cleanse me, and make me the person you want me to be. Father, help those that don't know you as their personal Savior, that this would be the day that they would accept the most wonderful Christmas gift that has ever been given to man, the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray they'll confess their sins to you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you want to get in touch with me, you know it's Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can use the phone number 623-845-2741 to call me and talk to me or to text me and whatever. I would be willing to do whatever I can to comfort you, to tell you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember again, I will be working at the First Baptist Church this week, and I would like to have you come be a part of these services. God bless you. Merry Christmas. I hope that you really fully enjoy the fact that God loved you so much that he stepped into history to take your sins and make it so you can be forgiven and part of God's family. Merry Christmas, and God bless you.